February 11, 1908. The Teacher Sent from God. Ellen G. White. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3, verse 17. Looking upon men in their suffering and degradation, Christ perceived ground for hope where appeared only despair and ruin. Wherever there existed a sense of need, there he saw opportunity for uplifting. Souls tempted, defeated, feeling themselves lost, ready to perish, he met not with denunciation, but with blessing. The Beatitudes were his greeting to the whole human family. Looking upon the vast throng gathered to listen to the Sermon on the Mount, he seemed for the moment to have forgotten that he was not in heaven, and he used the familiar salutation of the world of light. From his lips flowed blessings as the gushing forth of a long-sealed fountain. Turning from the ambitious, self-satisfied favorites of this world, Christ declared that those were blessed who, however great their need, would receive his light and love. To the poor in spirit, the sorrowing, the persecuted, he stretched out his arms, saying, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." Matthew 11, verse 28. In every human being he discerned infinite possibilities. He saw men as they might be, transfigured by his grace, in the beauty of the Lord our God. Psalm 90, verse 17. Looking upon them with hope, he inspired hope. Meeting them with confidence, he inspired trust. Revealing in himself man's true ideal, he awakened for its attainment both desire and faith. In his presence, souls despised and fallen realized that they still were men, and they longed to prove themselves worthy of his regard. In many a heart that seemed dead to all things holy were awakened new impulses. To many a despairing one, there opened the possibility of a new life. Christ bound men to his heart by the ties of love and devotion, and by the same ties he bound them to their fellow men. With him, love was life, and life was service. "Freely ye have received," he said, "freely give." Matthew 10, verse 8. It was not on the cross only that Christ sacrificed himself for humanity. As he went about doing good, Acts 10, verse 38, every day's experience was an outpouring of his life. In one way only could such a life be sustained. Jesus lived in dependence upon God and communion with him. To the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, men now and then repair. They abide for a season, and the result is manifest in noble deeds. Then their faith fails, the communion is interrupted, and the life work marred. But the life of Jesus was a life of constant trust, sustained by continual communion, and his service for heaven and earth was without failure or faltering. As a man, he supplicated the throne of God, till his humanity was charged with a heavenly current that connected humanity with divinity. Receiving life from God, he imparted life to men. "Never man spake like this man." John 7, verse 46. This would have been true of Christ had he taught only in the realm of the physical and the intellectual, or in matters of theory and speculation solely. He might have unlocked mysteries that have required centuries of toil and study to penetrate. He might have made suggestions in scientific lines that, till the close of time, would have afforded food for thought and stimulus for invention. But he did not do this. He said nothing to gratify curiosity or to stimulate selfish ambition. He did not deal in abstract theories, but in that which is essential to the development of character, that which will enlarge man's capacity for knowing God and increase his power to do good. He spoke of those truths that relate to the conduct of life and that unite man with eternity. Instead of directing the people to study men's theories about God, His Word, or His works, He taught them to behold Him as manifested in His works, in His Word, and by His providences. He brought their minds in contact with the mind of the infinite. The people were astonished at His teaching. John 7, verse 46. For His Word was with power. Luke 4, verse 32. Never before spoke one who had such power to awaken thought, to kindle aspiration, to arouse every capability of body, mind, and soul. Christ's teaching, like His sympathies, embraced the world. Never can there be a circumstance of life, a crisis in human experience, which has not been anticipated in His teaching, and for which its principles have not a lesson. The Prince of Teachers, His words will be found a guide to His co-workers till the end of time. To Christ, the present and the future, the near and the far, were one. He had in view the needs of all mankind. Before His mind's eye was outspread every scene of human effort and achievement, of temptation and conflict, of perplexity and peril. All hearts, all homes, all pleasures and joys and aspirations were known to Him.
He spoke not only for, but to, all mankind. To the little child in the gladness of life's morning, to the eager, restless heart of youth, to men in the strength of their years, bearing the burden of responsibility and care, to the aged in their weakness and weariness, to all His message was spoken, to every child of humanity, in every land and in every age. In His teaching were embraced the things of time and the things of eternity, things seen in their relation to things unseen, the passing incidents of common life and the solemn issues of the life to come. The things of this life He placed in their true relation as subordinate to those of eternal interest, but He did not ignore their importance. He taught that heaven and earth are linked together, and that a knowledge of divine truth prepares man better to perform the duties of daily life. Christ lived not to gratify Himself, but to do good, to save others from suffering, to help those who most needed help. The bitter cup was apportioned to us to drink. Our sins mingled it. But our dear Savior took the cup from our lips and drank it Himself. And in its stead, He presents to us a cup of mercy, blessing, and salvation. What a sacrifice was this! What love, what wondrous and matchless love! If Christ be in us the hope of glory, we shall walk even as He walked. We shall imitate His life of sacrifice to save others. We shall welcome a life of devotion, trial, and self-denial for His sake. So shall we share in His eternal joy and bliss.